2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Thursday, June 8th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, and look, our last boss, our last program director, he stopped responding to my texts. He left me on red, and he told me he wanted more guests on the show. The new program director is helping me make it happen. Joining me right now, the one, the only, former co-host of the Just Sayin' television show on Cube 57, but also John and Lance in the mornings right here. It is the one and only John Granato. John, how you doing, man?
Good. Did you get? Do you have that money that they?
Yeah. Well, you know, we still got it. We still got like 57 seconds left.
We got. Yeah, we still got some time. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought you wanted to be here, right? Yeah. I mean,
no. Yeah. No.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 Or no. What the hell is it?
No. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was reading something here. Go ahead.
Okay. What else? Well, John, look, there's a lot of things going on in the world of sports. You're a big golf guy.
Yeah.
Did Rory McIlroy know? Did Rory McIlroy know about the LIV PGA golf merger?
No. No.
Did Phil Mickelson know?
No. No, he didn't know. No, no.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you? That's good.
I've done better.
This isn't awkward. I saw Vanessa on TV last night. I thought of you.
Oh, well, I mean.
Yeah, that was your other
co-host. Yeah, the person who's doing better in her career than I'm doing in mine. Yeah. Just going to bring that up, too.
Yeah. No, but she's doing better than all of us, though, actually. You want to know the truth?
I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
All right, well.
All right, so did you get that money?
Yeah, I got the money.
Okay, because...
Okay. Well, everybody...
there it is.
Is this enough?
There it is. That's plenty. Thank you. All right. That was fun.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford rent this month. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. He is John Granato, hey, everybody. 7 to 10. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We appreciate him joining. Anyway, hey. Oh, there's an applause, Sean. You're going to play that, too. Kiss my ass. Okay? I think next time it'll be better. We've talked about doing a show. Maybe this is just some fallout from me saying that the show got canceled. I don't know. Because we do work at Jake Asman 97.5 and 92.5. Anyway, hey, guys. Let's talk about what happened last night. The Houston Astros were in a smoky Canada taking on the Toronto Blue Jays.
He got him. Tucker goes down on strikes. Blue Jays hold on to win this one 3-2. They have taken two of the first three games of this series with the final one tomorrow. They have evened up the series on the season at three games apiece. Not a lot of offense tonight, just like last night, but enough offense for Toronto with a couple of solo home runs and then that pinch hit RBI single by Alejandro Kirk to make it a 3-2 final.
So this offense has blown two decent starts in a row. On Tuesday night, it was Hunter Brown. Not a great start from Brown, but good enough to get a win. Last night, it was Rodel Blanco giving the Astros exactly what they needed. Six innings, just two earned runs. And the Astros offense, I guess there's a two-day carryover effect from when they score 8-plus runs. They scored 11 runs to open up this series. They have six runs in the first inning against Alex Big Boy Manoah. They don't do anything Tuesday night. They only get a Yordan Alvarez two-run homer last night. So we're going to circle back to something that we have been discussing entirely because the Houston Astros are not currently playing in the United States of America. If you've listened to this show enough, Sean Mapes and I have decided that Dusty Baker gets lineup diplomatic immunity because of what he did in the postseason. But it changes when he's in Canada. This is where we are going to, at the very least, take out the magnifying lens and be our best gumshoes and take a look at what's going on. And the night before, Tuesday night, it's Noe Yiner Diaz who's on fire. Last night, this was my issue. If you're going to simultaneously give off days while trying to stay in the Rangers' rearview mirror, you're going to have a hard time. Now, if you were watching last night, Jeremy Peña got the night off. That one made sense. He had 7 strikeouts in the 2 games before. Golden Sombrero Tuesday night. Mauricio Dubon stepped in. He had 3 of the Astros' 5 hits. That's neat. But Alex Bregman, 1 game removed from a 12-game hitting streak, being benched, I don't get that. And we heard from Dusty Baker before the game. He didn't want to get benched. Said Baker, quote, he never wants a day off. He said his dream is to play 162 games. I say, keep on dreaming. And of course, Bregman deserves a couple of off days over the course of the year. But they started Henry Kissinger at third base. Sean's laughing. That's his name, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was his MLB debut. He had to wait a long time to get called up.
But really long
Henry
time.
Kissinger's finally in the majors.
I was surprised Henry Kissinger was still alive. But Henry Kissinger, he played third base.
Just celebrated his 100th birthday.
100 years old. Congratulations.
100 years young.
So oldest player in the majors. Great. The Astros making a milestone. Somebody with a lot of, I would say, American relevance. He's playing third base for you. But he goes 0-for-3 with the strikeout. Oh, wait, hang on. I read the Kessinger. I feel bad for the guy. He should never play, especially on a game where Jeremy Peña's sitting out. Who knows what he would have done, given that he's in a bit of a slump, it seems like, right now. But also, too, Chaz McCormick is playing in the outfield. They weren't going up against a lefty in Chris Bassett, who threw like 5 pitches to get through 7 innings. Shouldn't Jake Myers play? I mean, he was 4-for-5 on Monday. I don't want to become a lineup Nazi. I'm not going to be Jeremy Branham retweeting the Astros lineup every single night and saying, what did Dusty do wrong? But I don't like that they're arresting multiple key players on the same night. You can stagger this, can't you? I get that their depth is not great, particularly in the infield. But you had Altuve back. You can make this happen over a series of days. I don't get why 2 guys are out. Do Alex Bregman and Jeremy Peña have the asthma? You know, with all the smoke in the air, and I get it, like the Blue Jays closed the roof, but there's these major fires that are going on in Quebec. So very smoky. I don't know how many people saw the images from New York City. They're, of course, whining about it. Such a tough city that they deal with a forest fire once. Live on the West Coast for literally 5 months in the summer. You will experience it. But anyway, was that the reason that they sat both of them? I don't know. All I know is if Dusty Baker is about keeping the Astros in their rearview mirror, especially when they're playing the Cardinals, and thankfully the Cardinals did beat the Rangers 1-0, so the Astros stay just 4.5 games back of Texas. I don't think you can afford to rest multiple guys. Your lineup just isn't as strong as it was a couple of years ago, right? This is a team that wins with its pitching and amazingly continues to get good pitching despite a starting rotation that right now is, held together with bubblegum and rubber bands. You know, Rodel Blanco gave you enough last night. I'm not saying that if you put in Alex Bregman, you'd definitely get the win, but you had a better chance. You would have. Instead, Chris Bassett takes like 5 seconds to get through the entirety of a game. I mean, really the one perk that we can take away from last night, 2 hours and 3 minutes. I will say that was pretty nice. could get right to focusing on a dud of an NBA Finals game. The Denver Nuggets blew out the Miami Heat. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray both had triple-doubles. Looks like the series is rather one-sided. But I got to focus on that game, and I got to get through a baseball game in 2 hours, Sean.
I was going to say, like, the game ended, like, in the first quarter of the of the Finals game.
Perfect. I thought I was going to have to watch it on the two TV setup. Nope, didn't have to. Got to watch it on one, and that was neato.
Finally, the guy with two TVs catches a break.
TVs aren't expensive, Sean. They're not. Anyone in sports media that does not have a two television setup is doing it wrong. You know what you could do? Okay, maybe you don't want to buy a second television. You know, do you know how much computer monitors cost these days?
I actually have no idea.
It's like $99.
Huh.
So you can get like a 32-inch computer monitor, turn it into a television, plug in an HDMI cord, boom. Like TVs, monitors, they're as cheap as they ever will be right now.
Wow.
Paul Gallant here for big monitor.
For cheap TVs.
Well, yeah, here's the thing, though. I mean, we need to figure out a sponsorship. Like, if we're going to continue to have guests, like, that 5-minute interview with Granato cost $100. How do you think it went? Do you think he wants to come back? I kind of am getting a little self-conscious about it now. I felt like it wasn't our best. Like, we used to do a TV show together. I don't know about that one.
I think you just need to work on your chemistry. I mean, you did the TV show, but that was kind of a while ago, so maybe start working, you know.
I'm starting to believe that
weekly you gain a rapport.
I think he only wanted to do it because Patty Smith was on the show and not because of me. And honestly, I'm kind of hurt by that. And now I've noticed, like, you know, Patty doesn't talk to me anymore. John barely talks to me now. I don't know. I'm a little self-conscious, and I feel my feelings are hurt after this first segment, but it's fine. No one cares. You know, whatever.
I'm on Amazon buying a monitor. Sorry.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it. We did learn some valuable lessons in the Astros' loss last night. Plus, we talked about reboots and sequels for the last couple of weeks with the Rockets, with the Texans. There is one that is now possible that wasn't before that actually makes sense for one of Houston's teams. We'll tell you who it is next. Don't go anywhere, Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
A couple people in the Twitch chat are wondering if John Granato and I made a drug deal in the first segment. I would never. Can't speak for John. I would never. That's just the going rate to get John on the show. And again, the last boss I had here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 literally was leaving me on red. I'm not even joking. This is the first time ever in the show I've been 100% serious. But he always wanted me to book guests. I think it's because I never book guests. So we got a new boss. Guess what? Another Yankee. But hey, we got this cool lava lamp in studio thanks to him. Look, we need guests, so we've been told to try and book as many as we can. You've noticed the change, right? We had Greg Rosenthal yesterday. Fred Davis is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow. The guests are coming, but I have to pay John for his appearances. So hopefully we can get more than a couple of minutes next time around. We also have, Sean, some commentary in response to Dusty Baker and the lack of lineup immunity that's going on. Are you excited for lineup talk the rest of the season? Because that is the devil's advocate for Dusty just randomly giving a bunch of players off days on the same day, is that we'll have something to talk about, given that we're not exactly the most enthusiastic show about baseball.
And I don't think we're not enthusiastic. We're very enthusiastic in the playoffs.
Yeah,
in the playoffs, we're very enthusiastic.
That is true. We loved the playoffs. I had so much fun this past fall.
Yeah,
talking October about the playoffs awesome. With you guys. I'm not kidding. Again, we're being honest here. Trust Tree. I really enjoyed it, but the regular season is a bit of a drag.
And the lineup talk. Let's be honest. It's low hanging fruit after a loss.
It is.
And
it's so easy.
Thankfully, Dusty Baker is pulling that branch down to get that fruit lower and lower for us.
Yeah. Someone brought up a king of Twitches. Dusty isn't managing for 97.5's approval. It's a long stretch of games followed by another. He's going to rest guys and lose some games. Well, Dusty does follow me on Twitter.
Does he really?
He actually does follow me on Twitter. If that's his actual account, he follows me on Twitter.
Might not be his real
account. It might not.
Is he verified?
He's got like 15,000 followers. He just never tweets. There's enough people following him where it's actually...
Yeah, does like Brian McTaggart follow him or something?
It's actually plausible.
Okay.
And I think he enjoys when I ask questions the few times I do go out to Minute Maid Park. So are Dusty Baker and me friends? I'm not sure. And see, that's why we give him diplomatic immunity when he's in Canada. You know, go have a time. There's smoke in the air. You might not be thinking straight. Couple of comments.
Also, it is crazy that they had to close the roof for the smoke in the air, but the day before's game, the roof was open.
Yeah.
like in one day, how much did the air quality diminish because of the fire?
It is nuts.
It went from like, yeah, look at this beautiful Toronto skyline to like the next day, it's like, for safety precautions, we are closing the roof to Rogers Center or whatever it's called.
Sean, it's legitimately crazy. So my mom was driving through it yesterday. My mom lives in the summer on Long Beach Island in New Jersey. So she was driving through New York City to go visit my sister up in Massachusetts. And she drove through it and she's like, it's unlike anything I've ever seen. And I told her, yeah, that was a couple of summers in Seattle for me without air conditioning. There were 2 days where because of all the forest fires in the air, it was like 98 degrees 1 year. It was 108 degrees the next year, no air conditioning, and if you open your window, I mean, it's going to be miserable. So you have to, like, keep your window closed or have an air conditioning unit, and I purchased an air conditioning unit after this all went down because I was like, I'm never dealing with this again, and then I got fired. So it worked out great. But, hey, lessons learned in the Astros' 3-2 loss last night, because we always can take something out of a loss in life. Right? How about this lesson? Sure, winning a baseball game is neat. But you know what's better? Breathing clean air. Taking care of the environment. Recycling. Does Canada do that? I don't know. Global warming. Lots of comments from Canadians about how, you know, we aren't responsible. And yet, they literally set a forest on fire. Was it arson? I don't know. But remember, guys, you got to take care of the environment. Yeah, the Astros lost, but the world, our Mother Earth is more important. You know what else I learned? Baseball might be America's pastime, but it's more important for all of us to get with the times and get to the point. 2 hours and 3 minutes yesterday. How about that? You know what else is important? I learned something yesterday. It's important to be on time. Jose Abreu, I know a lot of people are like, what the hell happened there where he got called for the pitch clock violation and not Chris Bassett? Doesn't matter. You just have to be on time. What would Tom Coughlin do in that situation? He would fine Jose Abreu. Hector Neris, 3-2 count. You end up walking the eventual game-winning run. It's important to be on time. I, for one, cheer for pitch clock violations to be called by umpires. I think it's a great part of our game. A great part. You learned any lessons, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. You can also do it on twitch.tv/ESPN975. The NBA Finals took place last night. We heard a couple of days ago, Rafael Stone had this to say, hoping that there can be something the Rockets can take away from these finals. Here's the general manager of Houston's basketball squad.
We should all be watching because that's what you aspire to be. And, you know, the game is changing. It's evolving. And some of the trends in the playoffs will be things. Well, some of the things that they see in the playoffs, including just how hard you have to play, are things that we very much need to be all about starting game one next year.
So there are some lessons that the Rockets could take away from game three of the NBA Finals, where the Nuggets crushed a Miami Heat team. Alperen Şengün, he just needs to be like Nikola Jokic. He had 31, 21, and 10. We had a conversation after the show yesterday, Sean and I did. We like to make some very light comparisons between Jokic and Şengün, mainly because of how good he is as a passer. I think we all need to also realize, though, that Nikola Jokic might be one of a kind, and an Alperen Şengün who is definitely promising is probably not going to be Nikola Jokic. I would say it's just as likely that he ends up Clint Capela as his max player. And not to say Capela had zero skills other than being able to catch the ball and jump and play defense and switch on people. But I think that there's a chance that that is how good Şengün ends up being, which isn't bad. But again, like, let's not act like he's going to be the second coming.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, like, penciling in, like, Jokic for Şengün that happens with Rockets fans. And it's, like, it's the taking the, oh, they kind of play similar. They have, like, a similar, like, strengths and weaknesses. But Jokic's are all ratcheted up to 100, yeah. And he can also shoot threes. And they're all, and so it's like, yeah, I think the guy pulling down 32, 21, and 10 in a finals game, I think we might be, can we, at what point do we stop going Şengün can be Jokic? Because it's like kind of ridiculous.
To go
Şengün, can you be Sabonis? Can you be Devonis Sabonis?
I think we stop doing it, Sean, when the Rockets have a coach who doesn't randomly bench Şengün for like the entirety of the end of the game when they're garbage. Yeah, he doesn't play enough defense. Oh,
like all the other guys do.
My okay, bad. Yeah.
I forgot the bad boy Pistons for this was the other five guys on the court.
Man, Bill Laimbeer out there. Yeah. Oh my God.
I forgot. We signed Rick Mahorn the other day. And yeah. You know what? Şengün can sit.
Rick Mahorn rules. Jalen Green just needs to be like Jamal Murray too. That could happen, right? 34, 10, and 10.
Yeah. Scoring guard.
Hey, it could happen. Put in effort. That's another thing we learned for the Rockets, because Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra said the Heat didn't put in enough. This actually is something I hope the Rockets are paying attention to. Phoenix Suns ownership and executives had a series of conversations with Chris Paul and his representatives on the future that Paul will have in Phoenix. There's a chance he could be waived by June 28th, which is the guaranteed date on his contract. And I saw that per Crispy Haynes, it's very likely he will end up getting released. If there is a reunion with an ex-Rockets player in the Rockets, I'd actually sign off on, it is Chris Paul. And I know that Chris Paul is not the same player that he used to be. Paul also wants to play for a contender. That said, this is the hard-ass veteran that you want on a roster that you don't have to give up assets to get, that we saw, I think, seriously help Devin Booker's progression over the last couple of years. And Booker was probably always going to be this, but it helps to have a guy, I think, like Chris Paul on your team when you're a young, impressionable player. And he's not for everybody. Obviously, he wasn't for James Harden. But if there is a reunion I'd sign off on, it's that. He helped Phoenix mature very quickly. And again, we're talking about, as alternatives, Deshaun Nix, right? I mean, who were we talking about as a true point guard alternative on the Houston Rockets right now, June 8th, 2023?
Oh, you hope Ty Washington can kind of take the reins from him, put together a good summer league.
Sean, he's one of many Rockets players that I hear mentioned entirely too much. It's no offense to these guys. They're young. They're trying to make it happen. But the amount of people who follow the Rockets that act like Ty Washington, KJ Martin, Tari Eason are these like unbelievably promising players. Drives me crazy. The team sucked last season. Keep it in your bleeping pants. They're just people that are wearing the Rockets uniform.
Yeah, and there's a difference between like a young core and like you're just a young guy on a young team. Like the I would say Sengun, Smith, Green, that's probably like the upper echelon of the young core, and then you can throw in like the Tari Eason, whatever.
There we go.
Underneath. And then there's like another layer, and that's where like the guys that like bear like Usman Garuba and Ty Washington, where it's like
he looks so good in summer league, yeah, though, Sean.
Or also, I don't think we should be penciling these guys in for like
anything.
What the eventual like postseason rotation is going to look like in 3 years?
I would say for the most
chances
part,
are they won't be on the team.
Here's the thing: there's a lot of people that just don't care about the Rockets. So the people who are really following them are the people that are extremely passionate and love the team on a level that I do not, that Sean does not. And those people are just way too optimistic. This team blows. They're not good. It's heading in the right direction, I think, with Ime Udoka. But, yeah, I'm with Sean. Everything he said right there. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. Waka Flocka Bucks on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5 says, signing CP3 will guarantee the youngsters get playing time. Like, that's the big thing. You know, you put James Harden in. It's not just a lack of playing time. It's a lack of having the ball in your hand time to get better as a pro.
I think he's saying because Chris Paul's hurt all the time. They're guaranteed playing time because Chris Paul be on the sideline wearing a suit.
I missed that one.
I think that's what's happening.
Whoosh! Over my head. All right, up next, 10-minute drill. DeAndre Hopkins is meeting with a Texans rival. Deshaun Watson once again weighed in on the possibility of a disgusting brothers reunion in Cleveland. The Cowboys have given their offense a tacky nickname, and the Jaguars, maybe they're not moving from Jacksonville. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Really quickly from the last segment, we were talking about the Houston Rockets, the comparisons made between Alperen Şengün and Nikola Jokic. A text regarding Şengün, the hype from fans is more elevated because Jokic himself is calling Şengün out for the similarities and point blank telling the Rockets to run the offense through him. It's not like we don't think Şengün is super talented. And Sean and I have both said before, we would love to see the Rockets run their offense through Şengün. I just think you got to be careful when you're putting expectations of a guy who should have probably been the 3-time MVP who's about to win his first finals this year. To put those expectations on Şengün is crazy.
It's like when the Timberwolves drafted Andrew Wiggins, and if everyone was like, so he's just going to be our LeBron James, right? We're watching the finals. He's going to be LeBron. It's like, guys, what Jokic is doing is like a top echelon season of any NBA player of all time.
Exactly.
And no one is, like, chances are no one's ever going to do this.
Because Şengün also plays with his body, too. Jokic plays with his body.
Yeah,
I don't
also
know.
He's so big.
Şengün, I don't know if he's there yet. I will say Şengün does play rather physically, which is a promising sign. But you also saw him like trying to go up against Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid shoving him around.
There's elements there, but he's not going to be doing 32, 20, and 10.
Right. But hey, we're excited about Şengün. We like Şengün on this show. DeAndre Hopkins is going to meet with the Tennessee Titans on Sunday in Nashville. Mike Vrabel, who, of course, was a Texans assistant and then defensive coordinator while Hopkins was in town, confirmed as such in a press conference yesterday.
The first thing is we want players that want to be here. You know, I think we want people that want to be here, and then we'll work through anything else. And so, you know, we brought in a bunch of different players. DeAndre will be somebody that we'll bring in next week, early next week, at the end of this week, and go through the same visit that we go through with everybody, and then start the process.
I do not buy that Hopkins wants to be on the Titans. I could be talked into the idea that Hopkins maybe wants to live in Nashville. And we have heard Hopkins talk about wanting to play somewhere without state income tax. Tennessee does not have a state income tax off the top of my head. I believe that's the case. Tennessee, state income tax. Tennessee does not have an individual income tax. There you go. Corporate income tax, yes. So, to go back to something Hopkins said a little bit earlier this offseason, from a tax perspective, maybe he'd want to live there. Nashville is fun. It does seem to be happening all of a sudden. But the Titans are a wreck. They seem like they still want to get rid of Derrick Henry. They, of course, have been stripping parts over the last couple of years. They drafted Will Levis. It seems unlikely that Ryan Tannehill's going to be there much longer. I would think of all the quarterbacks in the league, he is the one most likely to be traded should some injury happen, really in the first 9 weeks of the season. So that's where I'm having a hard time believing Hopkins would want to go there.
Yeah, if we're to believe that like the Texans aren't maybe not competitive enough and maybe don't have a quarterback that Hopkins wants to play with, the Titans aren't any better in either of those things. They might be, I don't know, maybe because their defense they might be better, but DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to play on defense, so he doesn't. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, like, oh yeah, Ryan Tannehill and Will Levis. I doubt that Hopkins is going to be like, sign me up. I don't know the cap situation. Maybe the Titans can just pay him a lot, and maybe that's what he wants. It is a situation of like, does he want to get the most money he can? Does he want to play for a winner? Does he want to move back to Houston? What does he want to do?
1 year, $18 million is what Odell Beckham Jr. got. The Titans could offer that, but they've been acting so poor, too, right? Like, oh, can we get out of the stadium?
Yeah.
People of Nashville, even though our stadium's like 30 years old?
At the end of the meeting, they're like, ooh. When the check comes at the restaurant they're having, like, Mike Vrabel's doing the fake, like, reach for the wallet, but very slowly to see if DeAndre Hopkins reached for it first.
Always a good move.
I'll get the next one, DeAndre.
Deshaun Watson is the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. We have talked about the possibility of a disgusting brothers reunion between he and DeAndre Hopkins. We say disgusting brothers with Watson for obvious reasons. For Hopkins, it's because of a story that took place in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine back in 2013, where he and another player, who has since, I think, been cleared, left a hotel room covered in feces and other things. Deshaun Watson on Hopkins, I have no idea. I have no idea where that stands, him coming to the Browns. But like I said last week, I would love to have him, and we'll see how things go. So there you go. That's the latest on DeAndre Hopkins. The Dallas Cowboys offense is naming itself the Texas Coast. You're not on the coast, you dumbasses. And I get it. It's like supposed to be some sort of play on the West Coast offense or something like that. But I mean, I think it's even debatable that Dallas is in Texas. It's like this weird Arkansas, Oklahoma smorgasbord of why would anyone want to live here? There's no water anywhere nearby. Why would you want to live inland away from an ocean? And I get like Houston's not on the water, but it's close enough. Galveston Beach, or in the minds of some, Crystal Beach. Woohoo! Yeah, you can't call yourself the Texas Coast. Doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Largo says the Louisville Lake Coast, Lake Texoma Coast, says King of Twitch. I'm guessing those are lakes nearby.
Also, like, referencing the West Coast offense in, like, 2023, that I remember, like, the West Coast offense from, like, back in the day, back when I was, like, we have to sit, like, everyone we draft, we have to sit for 2 years because they have to learn,
yeah,
like, Brad Childress's West Coast offense.
Or even before that.
And, like, it's like, well,
Bill Walsh.
Yeah, now it seems
it's not cool anymore.
Yeah, it just seems like everyone, the offenses are so much easier for players to pick up, and you have your players make plays, and that's kind of how everything works, instead of like coaching up five-step drops. I don't know.
It's the High Plains Coast offense. Like, it's nowhere near a coast. Unless it's like a coast of just empty desert and plains and grassland. So, just doesn't work. Doesn't work. One last thing before we hit the road. The Jacksonville Jaguars. We all think they're going to move to London. Rangers are playing two games in London this year. And we also heard recently that they're not going to be able to play in the stadium, I think, next year and the year afterwards, because they're going to do some renovations to the stadium. Well, they released a concept online for a brand spanking beautiful waterfront stadium to be constructed. Here is the commentary on their release video that they posted to YouTube.
Jacksonville unites us. We're all connected to this place by our beaches and our waterfront, by our culture, by our people, and yes, by our sports. Our city is on the cusp of something great, a bold city with a bold vision for the future, and our stadium is part of that.
Okay, a couple of things here. Our culture. Flip-flops with jeans. That is Northern Florida culture. I used to live in the state. I know. This is Floribama Shore that we're talking about. Like, this is that part of the state. Where it's, do you really want to go here? The second thing. He mentioned Florida culture. There's a second part in that clip that honestly I forget because I couldn't help thinking about like the amount of people, you know, wearing jeans and flip-flops in Jacksonville, Florida. It was a little bit after that, Sean. Can you refresh my memory here?
Do you think they put the jeans and flip-flops people like in the artist rendering mock-ups?
No.
That they put like guys wearing Blake Bortle jerseys and then jorts?
Because that new stadium doesn't have a pool. It doesn't have a pool. So, like, they're clearly trying to class out native Jacksonvillians. And they mention a couple of things here. This will help us get bigger NFL events, like the NFL draft. Not a Super Bowl, because they hosted the Super Bowl there. I went there. It was a disaster from a logistics perspective. Like, people had to stay in cruise boats because there were not enough hotel rooms. I feel like this is a great way for the Jaguars to convince the people of Jacksonville that they can't afford the team. If you watch the video, like, the stadium looks awesome. It really does, even though it doesn't have a pool. And I feel like they're trying to just make it seem like we're going to cost a lot for you to stick around. Kind of like that girl I was seeing a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I want to go to Uchimar! Woman, I can't afford it. I just spent $100 to have John Granato in here for 2 minutes. Coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, is Zion Williamson ever going to figure it out in the NBA? We're not sure. We do know, though, that he's figuring it out with the ladies. You'll find out some baby mama drama next on the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Zion Williamson, we think, if he ever plays in the playoffs again, has the potential to be one of the best players in the NBA. Big if at this point, though, given the way the end of the last two seasons have gone for the New Orleans Pelicans. He is in Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure if he wants to play territory. Hell, maybe even Ben Simmons. I'm not sure if he wants to play. But he posted a YouTube video the other day of a gender reveal party that he had with the mother of his future child. He's going to be a girl dad, which has become a sort of annoying online flex that a lot of people have. But apparently he has been talking, if you will, to other people over the last couple of weeks. At least one person, a woman by the name of Moriah Mills. For those who don't know, Moriah Mills, a Twitter account with 1.1 million dollar followers, excuse me, 1.1 million followers, with an OnlyFans, with her own YouTube channel. Apparently, she and Zion have hung out before. She started off a thread of Twitter posts that honestly got downright embarrassing, I think, for her as she continued to post them. Starting with this. She tweets, "Congrats, Zion Williamson. Happy for you." And then a picture that somebody took of a Snapchat saying, "Love you in these jeans. I'm going to FaceTime you in a little bit so we can talk about you moving." That is from a phone, a Snapchat that was open. For those who don't know a lot about Snapchat, when you take a screenshot or record a Snapchat, people can see that it has been recorded. These are supposed to be private conversations that disappear. But people have gotten smart. I would specifically point to the ladies. For example, there is an ex-Astros pitcher who I once saw the Ramalama Ding Dong of through somebody who I was talking to. This girl met this player in an Apple store, and he added her on Snapchat and felt very comfortable just sending a video of him, you know, playing with this thing. He's an impressive host, gotta say. But hey, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Mariah Mills, the alleged lover of Zion Williamson, who was having a child with somebody else, really just going through it on Twitter. Maybe a little "Everybody Hurts" music in the background. It's like these are mean tweets. These are more so sad tweets from Mariah Mills. "I hate you. On God." Rose wilting emoji. "Zion Williamson, looked like you've been had a girlfriend and sleeping with other women behind my back. Zion Williamson, you liar." And then she posted a couple of chats. Zion sent, "I don't have a girlfriend, but if I moved you to New Orleans, would you be cool with being my official? Just asking so I know how to go about the situation with respect. When you move, how much do you expect me to pay you a month? I'm super excited." By the way, either she or somebody else took photos of all of these messages. So either she's looking to give herself more clout through this or use it against him. These are nefarious memes.
Yeah, she was gathering evidence on Zion Williamson. Because like you said, she wasn't taking snapshots that alert Zion that she's taking. She's has another phone and right. Taking a picture of the other phone screen with it.
Right. She continues to tweet, "Sean, I let you bleep me so many times without a condom. And this is what you do to me? A hood rat that does, I don't know what CPN is. But I'm sure some intelligent mind.
I'm sure that's a subgenre somewhere.
Probably." Mariah Mills tweets about her lover, Zion Williamson, allegedly. "You putting my life in danger, bleeping all these hoes raw." Continues. "Couldn't even impregnate a real porn star." Puke emoji, puke emoji.
I kind of like that one.
This one's getting even more graphic, Sean.
Yeah, some of them are like borderline unreadable.
This is okay, though. I mean, I let you...
Be judicious with the bleeps, all right?
I let you... Well, if I added bleeps here, I could make it even more scandalous. "I let you spit in my mouth when we bleeped. You could have told me you had another whore pregnant. How is that going to work moving us both to New Orleans? You think I would have found out, Zion Williamson?" Yes, I think he does. I don't think he cares. He's 22. He's got a ton of money. Anyway, the tweets continued. "Me or your girlfriend," and she posts a picture of her wearing what seems to be a pink G-string one suit. There's a lot of butt. There's a lot of butt. I don't know if it's natural. One of the butt cheeks seems to be a little bit larger than the other butt cheek. And that thing is flossing. The bikini says gold dimes on the background.
Really studying this picture, huh, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
As a journalist.
I'm a journalist.
As a journalist.
I have to. More tweets from Mariah Mills, the alleged lover of Zion Williamson. I motivated you to get back in shape. Not that much. You didn't play in the playoffs. I let you bleep me all kinds of ways and film me on your phone, Zion Williamson. And you impregnate a low-budget porn star? DNA test, or I'm done. So she wants this girl to get a DNA test to prove that it's... How does this work?
That it's Zion? I don't know.
I think she's done, just based off of tweeting all of these out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the relationship can survive this. I'll be honest, Paul. I don't think Zion's relationship with this woman is going to last.
Here's more tweets. I told you was going to be the next king next to LeBron. I motivated you. You... BM, I don't know what that means.
Baby mama.
Baby mama is the reason you gained weight. She toxic. I hate this for you that honestly, Zion Williamson, you hurt me with this one. I couldn't sleep last night. And here's the cherry on top of all of it. Better pray I'm not pregnant too because I'm definitely late. Tag Zion Williamson. So that's a...
That's just a grenade that she just threw.
She seems like a grenade. To be perfectly honest.
But that's the biggest grenade of, like, imagine that twist in, like, 2 weeks when we revisit the story.
I'll be honest, I feel like...
You think you're done with the story?
I feel like a person who is a porn star, like, going out of their way to get pregnant, I feel like that's gonna, you know, get in the way of the money, even if it's Zion Williamson's money.
But it's long-term money.
That's
18
true.
Years. Remember that Kanye West song?
Look, this girl sucks. I mean, I get it. I get it. You're mad. But to air all this stuff out, like, what is the end game here other than to get clout out of it? Like, that's what it is. She's terrible.
So you're saying you're not going to...